Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Want to welcome in Bill Shea from The Athletic. A look at the possible new normal inside sports venues once fans can return. Bill, appreciate you joining the show.
Happy to be here.
All right, so it's kind of a routine of mine. Wake up in the morning. I start, you know, just kind of looking at different stories across the country and, of course, always trying to apply them to our LA audience here. But immediately when I saw your article, what a great read. A look at the possible new normal inside sports venues once fans can return. It's interesting, you know, Bill, I guess I haven't really thought of it. I haven't thought that far yet, right? Because all we've heard from a sports perspective for now is there's probably not going to be fans in stadiums for a while, especially in the state of California, you know, some of the measures that the state of California has. But going through your article, I guess the first thing that I'd love to ask, and for those who haven't got a chance to read it yet, can you first explain what wait time is and their specific services?
Yeah, it's a company here in suburban Detroit that for several years has manufactured a people tracking technology that's used by a handful of teams, like the Miami Heat, some others use it. And basically what it is they have cameras mounted on the ceilings of arenas and other sports facilities that, and it has an AI computer algorithm where it can track people and tell who's standing in line, who's walking around. And that data is transmitted not only to the stadium operations staff, but to an app and big digital screens mounted around the arena that lets fans know, like, oh, hey, I want to get a beer. There's a really long line at this concession stand, so I can go to this other stand over here where there's nobody in line, or for bathrooms or, you know, retail, stuff like that. And so they're looking to apply that technology now to social distancing potentially inside sports venues.
So just kind of giving an overview, what do you think that new normal is going to be when fans are allowed back in venues? Just give me just kind of a glimpse of what you think that could look like.
Well, I think that's really the multi-billion dollar question at this point. And I think it's going to look different in, say, Los Angeles than it may look in Chattanooga, simply because every state, and sometimes it's different cities within a state, are going to have different rules. But I think when fans return, at least initially in a lot of places, I think they're going to limit how many people come into a stadium or an arena. I think there's going to be, if you go to the grocery stores now, have like one-way aisles, and, you know, they have markers on the floor that space people 6 feet apart when they're in line. I think we're going to see stuff like that. I think we're going to see different teams trying to use technology like wait time and thermal cameras just to get any sort of measure that they can deploy to try and give fans comfort to say, hey, you know, we're trying to do the best we can, you know, with health safety protocols. You know, the Miami Dolphins have said they may only have, you know, 15% of Hard Rock Stadium full. So instead of, you know, 65,000 people, you're going to have a fraction of that. You're not going to have big crowds of folks. And, you know, in some markets with bad teams, that's not a big deal because there was no fans to begin with. But in, you know, places like LA, you know, Lakers games, Clippers games, you may see stands with people, you know, there could be clusters of families together, but, you know, it could be 5-6 rows away is the next person. So I think it's going to vary team by team, league by league, state by state, even city by city.
Bill Shea from The Athletic, a look at the possible new normal inside sports venues once fans can return. Very interesting article you can read right now on The Athletic. Bill, these thermal heat cameras, is that what they are? What they read body temperatures? Is that the purpose of them?
Yeah, and they've been used in a handful of places already during the pandemic. I think with a Las Vegas Raiders stadium is being constructed. I think maybe at SoFi, and I think the Texas Rangers stadium site, they were using heat registering cameras or equipment to test workers, construction workers at the site. And most of those places have had workers come down with illness. There's a lot of questions about the effectiveness of that technology, because if you have 10,000 people in line on a hot day in Miami where it's 105 degrees, like everybody's body temperature is going to be higher. So there's some debate within the industry on the effectiveness of those. It's one measure that teams and leagues are looking at. I think they're pretty much open to anything that will help them, bring fans back and bring fans back with a level of comfort.
Bill, what was the sentiment around the Dolphins' idea, like you mentioned, reducing fans from 65,000 to 15,000? What was how was that received?
Obviously, there's people that make jokes about, well, you're not getting 15,000 in the first place. But, at NFL stadiums, even with bad teams, they're often full, especially early in the season before the team has a chance to disappoint anybody. I'm a Clevelander originally, so, I'm at Browns games. There's 60,000 people cheering. And I think in these different markets, if they're going to limit things, there's been some blowback to that. Some people want to be in a stadium that is completely full because they really like the atmosphere of, being with tens of thousands of their fellow fans, cheering on their team and booing their rivals and things like that. But there's also a lot of people that are like, hey, I don't want to go back yet until, there's a vaccine and it's, genuinely safe to go back. And, right now we don't have a vaccine. We don't have enough testing and other protocols. So, the reaction's been mixed in Miami and all sorts of other places.
Bill Shea from The Athletic joining the Sliwa Show, talking about what a possible new normal inside sports venues would look like once fans can return. In your article, you had there was a poll taken by the Morning Consult or Morning Consult shows on when fans feel willing to return to games. Can you share some of those results for those that I guess you can say, like you just mentioned, I don't know what the comfort level is from fans. All I can, speak for is myself, and what I've kind of continued to say is, yeah, I'm good. If sports opened up again right now, I'm fine to watch them on TV. Like, I'm not trying to go to a game or a concert or a restaurant, but that's just because we're obviously still in the beginning stages. What is the temperature on fans right now?
Well, the Morning Consult report, it was in the last week of April, they talked about 2,200 people, and about 40-some percent favored going back in August through December or next year, in January 2021 or later. About 5% of people said they were okay going back right now. A slightly smaller percentage felt like April or May would be okay at the time they took this poll. And right around 9 or 10% thought, June, July, when it's warm out, they'd feel better about going back. And almost 40% didn't have an opinion on that particular question. There's a range of thinking out there amongst sports fans right now. And those numbers could certainly shift as, if they come up with a vaccine a month from now, I think people, some of those numbers, comfort numbers may go up in the near term.
Bill, how do you think, what are some of the measures you think that would make fans more comfortable? What are they looking for in some of those studies that are being done?
I think they want to know that the venue has been cleaned, like thoroughly sanitized. They want to know that the employees have been screened that work in the arena or the stadium, dealing with, vendors and stuff like that. A lot of people, want to see reduced capacity. They don't want to sit in a group of strangers and things like that. Most people still want face masks. A lot of people think that, pre-assigned entry times and locations it's like, hey, I bought a ticket. I can get in, you know, at 10:30 or noon or whatever it might be. You know, kind of like seating. You know, if you take an airline, you know, first class and sections 1, 2, 3, something like that. You know, that's one thing to do with an airplane. It's quite another thing to do with like Michigan Stadium with 107,000 seats. And this is something, you know, teams are trying to figure out. And I think we're going to probably see more and more polling, not just by media and experts. I think the teams and the leagues may do some polling themselves, too, to try to figure out what their own fan bases are comfortable with. Like, you know, because the attitudes in Los Angeles might be very different
sure.
from the attitudes in Detroit or Miami mm-hmm. or Boston.
Bill Shea, from The Athletic, great article right now. Look at the possible new normal inside sports venues. Once fans can return, how about Bill? If you can explain, I guess you can say those future stadiums that are going to renovate or arenas that are going to renovate. How much are they taking COVID-19 into account? Is there literally plans out there where they're revising some of their plans, where they know that okay, well, what the norm was in the past probably will not be the norm in the future.
Yeah, I've talked to a handful of stadium architects over the last month, and these are firms that are either building stadiums or there are you know projects in the pipeline that are being designed and they haven't broken ground yet, or they're doing renovations on current facilities, and all of them have said that clients are very interested in saying, hey, what can we do to deal, you know, with the situation right now, and you know, if this lasts for several years, or if, you know, if there's, God forbid, future different pandemics, you know, what can we do in our stadium? And the first and foremost is, you know, more sanitizing stations. And that's sort of a problem right now because some of the architects have said just the supply chain to get, you know, your Purell hand dispensers that you see at different places, everybody wants those. I think we're going to see a lot more of those in current and future stations, stadiums and arenas. So they're going to, you know, they're all sort of thinking like, hey, what can we do? And there was already a trend of thinking about smaller venues to begin with. You know, we may not see 40,000 seat baseball stadiums anymore. You know, they could start to look more like Major League Soccer stadiums at, you know, 20,000 seats, 18,000 seats. You know, and that's unrelated to the pandemic. That's because a lot of people would rather watch a Dodgers game or an Indians game or a Marlins game in front of their, you know, 72-inch high-def TV than going out and sitting at the ballpark and then spending $400 to take you and your kids to an afternoon. So I think we're going to see a little bit of an evolution in stadium and arena design. I don't know that it'll be radical, you know, but I think and a lot of things may be behind the scenes. There may be more sanitizing and janitorial and food and concession stuff so the fans don't see, but teams will let fans know, hey, you know, we have all these hand washing stations and all this other stuff to make sure, you know, people have the confidence that, you know, everything is clean and safe.
Bill, you can buy a nice TV for $400 these days. You know, we could put that bad boy up on the wall, like you just mentioned, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's kind of the strategy a lot more people take down the road, unless they, you know, start feeling comfortable. But it's a great article, and I think it offers kind of a look into the future of what to expect. So I appreciate you taking the time and going through all the details of it, and thank you for joining the show.
Okay, thank you. Anytime.
All right, that's Bill Shea right there from The Athletic. It's a different world. It is. And, you know, I haven't paid any attention to looking down the road and saying, what are arenas, what are stadiums, what are they going to look like down the road? But to kind of hear somebody explain it and to read that article, yeah, it makes you think a little bit. It definitely makes you think of what could be the reality down the road. Okay, we got halftime coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. By the way, if you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. We'll try to take some calls around 8:15 or so. Dave Denholm, by the way, coming up at 8:30. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, just a quick reminder here. If you miss any part of the Sliwa Show, you can download the full show on the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. So everything lives on there. You want to catch Michael Thompson and I did a fantastic, good 20-25 minutes MT gave us to do some of that his top 10 players of all time in the NBA. So if you miss any of that, you can catch all that halftime right now. Jesse, what's going on? This is day number two for Jesse back in the studio. Today must have felt a little bit more normal than yesterday.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just okay.
Every day it gets a little more normal for me here. But now it's going to be reverted back to, I guess, the actual normalcy. I mean, you know, I got a text from Corporate Greg earlier today saying that, hey, Curtis is feeling a lot better. He's all good. He'll be back tomorrow. I was like, great. So back to normal, working from home. And I had to like stop myself before I sent that because I was like, how is that normal? I'm working from home.
I know. How weird is that? By the way, Corporate Greg, do you think Greg wears a suit when he's at home now?
Just wears a suit, no way.
Whatever he's working on.
You know what? Maybe he'll have something like a polo.
I don't know if I've ever seen Greg in a suit. Just FYI. I probably have.
I've seen him in like a nice button-up shirt, but I don't think I've ever seen him like with an actual like suit and jacket with the tie.
I can see Greg right now, you know, throughout the day, like conference calls and everything, sitting on his couch with a full suit on and the jacket, right? And I think I could see his voice changing now because of his role. You know, a little bit more of a corporate voice, right? I could see him having a calculator next to him. He's not even using it, but you're supposed to have a calculator next to you. I think Greg's life has changed since he became Corporate Greg. That's what I could see.
Why would he have a calculator? I mean, if he was an accountant or maybe working in sales, but he
100% has a stapler in front of him.
Is it red?
He has a hole punch in front of him. Okay. And then he's got this binder of papers, and I don't even know what's in them, and he doesn't know what's in them either, but that's what you're supposed to do when you're corporate. And that's what he probably has on his desk. It's all very deceiving. By the way, you know what I was watching? I watched probably 4 or 5 episodes of yesterday. Bro, how good is The Office? Jesus, how good is The Office?
The Office is fantastic. The Office makes me wish I had a boss at one point that was like that.
He's too much for me, man. I cannot tell you, but too much in a good way. Yes, he can get cringy, but like his facial expressions. But I can't tell you how many times I have to rewind and I'm like, I gotta see what they just did again. The show is just freaking genius.
Who's your favorite character from The Office?
It's Steve. It's definitely Steve.
Michael Scott. See, mine's Kevin Malone. I love Kevin.
Kevin Malone, is that his name in the
That's his name in the show. His real name I think is Kevin Ball. It's a real long like Baum something. Mm-hmm.
Dwight is amazing, like to have that role. Pam is very underrated, like she's great. But bro, Michael Scott, Jesus. How do you create a what's his boss's name? What's her name?
Oh, Jan Levinson, I think.
Bro, some of the comments he was having yesterday about her, it's like after, you know, they were in a relationship before, so like it's all weird now. It's just too good. It's too good. All right, we could sit on The Office for a long time.
But before I move on from that, I just want to say that on my USB, I have a keychain, and it is the face of Michael Scott as is one of his many personas of Prison Mike.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture.
And I remember that episode. That episode is a very underrated episode. Very underrated episode. So the only reason why I got into that is because, like I said, Greg has a calculator to his right. Even at night, he just sits there with his calculator.
You think he has a coffee mug that says "World's Best Boss" too? We should get him that. Just 100%.
What if it said?
No, it says "World's Best Producer."
What if it said "Ninth Best Boss"? Ninth. We're doing our ranking, right? We just did our top 10 ranking. Okay, wait. Let me read off. I want to read off this tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski. This was earlier in the day. Okay. So he says, small steps for NBA. In advising teams on players, staff returning to market for workouts, league shares travel recommendations in memo. If within reasonable driving distance of their team markets, they should drive, not fly, to avoid more crowded travel settings. So this got me to thinking, Jess, as we do halftime, we obviously try and find some topics that we can just go off of. Are you a road trip guy? Are you somebody like do you enjoy getting in a car and saying, okay, let's go drive. And you're going to go stay where? 2-3 days, whatever the case is? 6 hours, 8 hours? Are you a road trip guy at all? Do you like that?
I love that. I love that, but I'm definitely picky with the people I choose to do
it. Oh, no,
with.
The people, you got to have the right
people.
People
matter.
Everything.
The people 100% matter.
That's everything. Okay, so give me one of your favorite road trips, because it sounds like the NBA, they might be taking some road trips. And I get, by the way, the NBA, what they're doing and what Woj is saying, and they're going to obviously try and do things where they try and make it as convenient as possible for the players, but they also want the safest environment. And one of those environments is, as best as you can, reduce your travel, right? So if driving is the way to do it, I think I read other stuff too. This is for baseball, where they don't want them taking Ubers and Lyfts. I mean, you just don't know, right? Somebody, you take an Uber and somebody might test positive and don't even know that they have COVID-19. So let's go back. Let's go back to, what is one of your favorite road trips that you've ever been on?
So two kind of come to mind. One is when I went to Vegas. It was like the first time I went to Vegas. The very first time I went to Vegas, I was already past 21. It was actually maybe four or five years ago. It was kind of semi-recent. I'd never been to Vegas up until that point. It was me and two of my friends. We left. My first trip to Vegas, I was there 5 days. Three hotels, 5 days. Never forget that.
That's a lot of Vegas.
Oh man,
I can't do 5 days.
The first two times I went to Vegas, the first time was that one time, which was like in the summer of whatever year it was. Mm-hmm. We left Tuesday night, like at 3-4 in the morning, to get there around 8 in the morning. All right, I'm gonna tell this story just because this is why I remember this story. On the road to Vegas, me and my friends were bumping music. My friend Ruben was driving. It was me, my friend Ruben, and my friend Ross. Me and Ross were in the the passengers. So both of us are just having a good time. You know, we're drinking water. That's not really water on the road, but that's just me and him. The driver's being safe because he's driving us. Me and him are getting turned. And
sounds like you're going to Vegas.
Sounds exactly. And he brought some goodies. Let's say that he brought some goodies with him. And he's like, hey, man, you want a goodie? And I was like, hell yeah. All right, let's do it. And I ate one whole goodie.
Okay.
And not thinking anything of it at that point.
Probably not a good idea. Probably not a good idea.
And about 10 minutes later, my homie asked me, hey, man, can I pass the goodies? And he opens it, takes it out. He's like, dude, did you eat one whole goodie? And I was like, yeah.
Probably not a good idea. Yeah.
And as he was telling me what I did wrong, I just felt the goodie kind of take over, and I could not stop laughing. I was laughing. I was kicking and screaming. I was having a good time. I was lit, but it lasted for all of maybe an hour, and then I just passed out. And I woke up, and like it was the sunlight, and I was in Vegas.
Let's just say our two road trips are going to be a little bit different. Okay, let's just say our road trips are going to be different. So every year, what I try to do, I love the woods. Like I love, and I don't do it often. If I get an opportunity once a year, I'll go camping. And it's one of the best things to do.
I love doing that, but I don't do it often.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, Jesse. It's the most simple thing you could do. Obviously, it's not anything. There's certainly nothing luxurious about it, right? But once a year, me and a buddy of mine, and if we, just kind of depends on a couple other friends. I got some close friends that live in different parts of the country. So if we can make it happen, we try to make it happen. But one buddy, we always go camping. And Sequoia and Yosemite. But I'm going to go Yosemite on this one. Bro, nothing better than a six-hour drive. And you're just going – you're just getting away from everything. You're getting away from the city. You're getting away from the pollution. You're getting away from the headaches. Like you're just taking off. And you go, we went to a place, I think it was called Porcupine Flats. So Yosemite has this, the Yosemite that everybody goes to, that there's a specific area, obviously. It's very very commercialized, I guess you could say. I mean, it's gorgeous, but there's just a ton of people. Where we went, I think it was maybe another like 12 miles past where this was. So you're going, further and further up in the woods, up in the mountains, and it's as secluded as it possibly can be. And they're not, you can't reserve these campsites, so it's kind of a first come, first serve basis. And we roll the dice. We just take our chances. This we've done this for Sequoia as well. But this one specific trip, going out to Yosemite, you get out there. There's probably 30 campsites, and each one is, you know, spaced out as if you were in a neighborhood, and it's one every five houses would be another campsite, right? And it's just, you know, all you got is a fire pit there. Bro, nothing better than camping and nothing better than kind of getting away. That type of road trip to me, and I'm sure all of us can use one of those where you just get away, your phone doesn't work, nothing works, you kick back, you know, you shoot the you-know-what, you tell jokes, you have obviously a bunch of food, you got some drinks, and it's just the best, bro.
That is, you know, the kind of road trip that I've been needing. That's the kind of one that I've been wanting for a long time.
This guy got blasted on his way to Vegas. That was awesome.
That happened when I was like 22, and that was my first time going to Vegas, Alan. Come on, I got to go all out.
But Jez, just think about that. Your story and mine. Look how different our road trips were.
It's two completely. One, you know, I can see yours. You're just – I can see you basically kicking your feet out the window. In the passenger seat.
Sunflower seeds, the whole thing.
See all the way back. And then, you know, but, for me – I got Creed bumping in the car of my friends.
Here we go, Creed again.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's Limp Bizkit. We're bumping Limp Bizkit. Yeah, we're busting rolling on the way to Vegas, just going all crazy.
Playing Cisco Thong Song the whole way. Look, Jess, but I will tell you this. When things get figured out, and I think actually some of the parks might have already started opening. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't checked. But my suggestion to you would be definitely try and plan one of those. You know what I mean? Do a Friday, Saturday. There's nothing better, and it's such a simple thing to do, but there is nothing better at night. You get a campfire going, you're kicking back, the beauty of just the stars and the trees, man, that stuff gets me. And you don't even have to go that far. If you don't want to go to, let's say, Yosemite, or you don't want to go to Sequoia, Idlewild is a great place. Just a couple hours away. Joshua Tree. How cool is Joshua Tree? I mean, that's one of the most like beautiful places that you can go to. So there's a lot of good camping sites, especially in California. That one stands out to me is the trip to Yosemite.
Yeah, and for me, I'm not the big like, you know, popping a tent and camping kind of guy. I want to find like a cabin and, you know, just be able to, like you said, get away from everything, but at the same time, you know, just find time to relax, to just kick back and make some popcorn, watch some movies, watch some TV, play some video games with my friends. That's the only issue for me is every time that me and, you know, my group of friends want to do it, there's always one person that can't do it. And
yeah,
we're like, nah, like we all got to do
it.
Oh,
it takes
together.
Planning. Oh, of yeah. course. No. It definitely takes planning. But anyways, it's worth it. What do you got over there, by the way?
All right. So I saw this today and I thought this was pretty interesting. Do you know by a man of Kanye West?
Of course.
Of course, who doesn't? So, a former bodyguard spilled the
Kanye
tea.
Kanye West is, by the way, the time that I played Biggie in the studio and I asked Mason, hey, who's this? He thought it was Kanye. And then I played the same Biggie song to Ireland and he thought it was Tupac. So
that sounds about right for
I think their go-to answer is always Kanye, so I respect that.
I think it's going to be either Kanye or Tupac.
Yeah, anytime they hear hip-hop, they're just like, oh, yeah, that's Kanye. And Mace's confidence on it is the best, too. Yeah, that's Kanye. Like he has the album or something. Okay, so yeah. Tell me about Kanye.
So his former bodyguard, Steve Stenulis, he was speaking with the Hollywood Raw podcast. And he was talking about some of the crazy rules he had to allege follow. And this is I have a quote here from the very first day he met Kanye. I'm going to read this to you because this first day. The first day I met him, it was Fashion Week. I was supposed to meet him at the studio. When he gets there, we get into the elevator and he says, aren't you going to push what floor I'm going to? I was like, I have no idea what floor you're going to. It's my first day. So he starts ranting. So you mean you didn't call ahead to find out where I'm supposed to be going? I said, no. So he starts ranting and raving. So I said, look, bro, we can do this one of three ways. One, you can tell me what button to press. The security guard.
This is the security guard?
Yeah.
Okay.
One, you can tell me what button to press and I'll know. Two, you can press the button and I'll see which one you press so I'll know. Or three, you can sit here all day and tell me how important your time is and how we're not going anywhere. Again, This is our first reaction. He went with the first option. And then he goes on to say that...
Wait, first one was what?
The first one was he just pushed the button and we find out where to go.
That's the way to do it. Okay. Yeah.
So I saw that and it just kind of goes back. What's the most craziest story or like rule you've ever heard from a celebrity and something like that? Because that's your first day and you think common decency would be like, oh, hey, you know, what's up? I'm calling you. No, this guy's just like, what do you mean you don't know what button to push?
You know what I respect so much is from – I respect those that are in powers or positions of power. And it doesn't just mean you have to be a celebrity. It doesn't just mean you have to be an athlete. But people in positions of power that treat everybody with the same respect. You know what I mean? And it goes even further because if you're a celebrity or if you're a big-time athlete – it's so easy to think like you're above others, or if you're a CEO of a company, or if you're a vice president of, you know, like anybody with a position of power. I love nothing more than when they just treat everybody with respect. I don't have, you know, a perfect example. I will say this. This is actually sort of an example. I forgot how Pau Gasol came up with Ireland.
He commented like, you know, of course he would love to have a statue or not the statue, his jersey retired, his number
something
retired
along those yeah. lines, whatever it was. But we talked and Pau came up and John just said, like, he's like, you cannot meet a nicer guy. And I remember he told a story where the Lakers were on the road. Obviously Ireland is traveling with the team and they got into like Memphis and it was 3-4 in the morning or something along those lines. And John Black, who was a public relations PR for the head of PR for the Lakers back in those days, obviously now Allison Bogley. But back in those days, something along the lines where John asked, like, where are you guys going? Or they had to go somewhere. And it was Pau wanting to go to the hospital that he typically goes to. And he just couldn't stop complimenting what a good dude Pau Gasol was. I can't tell you how much I respect and I love when, again, people in high positions or with authority or with a celebrity status or anything like that, I respect them so much when they don't change. They just stay that real person that they are. So when you tell the story about Kanye and Kanye pretty much, you know,
going crazy at him because he didn't know what floor.
Kind of demeaning somebody. Bro, I can't tell you how much I'm just like, all right, is what it is. Like, you just don't pay attention to people like that.
You want to know what's funny, too, is that he did that to a bodyguard. And, you know, these bodyguards for celebrities, they're not, you know, they don't look like you or they look like me. They look like they should, they bench 800 pounds. And, like, for someone like Kanye, I mean, he's not scrawny, but he's also not like a big buff guy. You know, it's shows a
but
lot.
But it's his power.
It's his power.
Ego. You know what I mean? It's the ego. It's all that.
You think it came from writing the song Power?
Probably. But like that's the thing. That's the thing I'm talking about. Like, just I can't tell you. Again, I'll go back to it. I love when that stuff just doesn't matter to a person, and it shouldn't. It really shouldn't. And it doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing. Just treat everybody with freaking respect. It's not that difficult. Treat them, you know, that the saying, and I know it's cliche, treat them the way you want to be treated, but it's the truth. It's the reality. So that's my take on that.
Definitely.
All right, buddy. Jess, thank you for putting those stories together. Let's do this when we come back. All right. So this has been an interesting transition. And by the way, just to kind of give everybody a quick idea, coming up at 8:30, Dave Denholm is going to come on. So we'll talk a little bit of soccer. But coming up next, got some college football questions. I don't know if I ever got college football. You know, we've kind of sat back and we've heard all the other sports and kind of somewhat of a plan of what they're trying to do. Or in the NFL's case, they're just kind of going business as usual until they have to do something different. College football has been a little different. Laura Rutledge, Bobby Carpenter, and Paul Feinbaum on Get Up We're talking specifically about college football, and then the Pac-12 came into play. So I want to play some of that sound. We come back. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Now I want to go camping. Now I want to freaking drive out to Sequoia, spend 3 days out there. And Jess, I'm tenting it. There is no cabin. There's no cabin lifestyle. You bring the tent. You bring the equipment. and you just do it out on one of those campgrounds. Okay, so one of the things that I haven't heard too much of is really on the college football front, the Pac-12 specifically. I want to play some I definitely want to play some sound from a little bit earlier today on GetUp. But I also want to read a quote from Chip Kelly, obviously the football coach for UCLA. So I just kind of give you guys a quick idea here, and this is talking about how UCLA will continue planning as if the football season will happen. What else are you supposed to do? There's nothing really else you can do. He said, the virus will tell us when we're able to come back. Until that time, we're just going to keep planning like we have a season coming up. No one has told us that we're not playing. No one has told us that we are definitely playing. We don't want to be surprised. So that's the definitely the approach to take. Laura Rutledge was on GetUp and really is just kind of giving her opinion on it's way too early to assume whether college football is going to go or it's not.
Well, along the lines of what you just heard Chip Kelly say, I spoke with somebody yesterday high up in the Pac-12, and they said, look, it's way too early to be presumptuous and start assuming that we're not going to see football in the Pac-12. And I think what continues to be important here is they still feel they have time on their side. Yeah, there's been no decision made in the Pac-12, but there has yet to be decision in the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12, all these other ACC, these other Power Five conferences, and beyond that as well. And so what the Pac-12 is looking at is maybe a more challenging road. And I think what really is important here is there are those opening games or early games out of conference that a lot of people have circled as maybe difficult to pull off. And that may be where you see some adjustments. I'm talking about USC, Alabama. I'm talking about Oregon, Ohio State. These games that we all love to see, especially in the college football playoff era, but those may be more difficult to pull off. If that's the case and we see a more regional model for college football and in their various conferences, at the end of the day, the Pac-12 is part of a group that is just trying to figure out how they can best and most safely play football in the fall or maybe beyond that.
Paul Feinbaum was on GetUp as well. He thinks politics are playing a role, and he thinks the only hope for the Pac-12 is for the rest of college football to wait for them. Here's Feinbaum.
I hate to use a cliche this early in the morning, but this is really a political football, Greeny, because of the politics of the West Coast are really different than they are in the Deep South, the Midwest, and some other parts of the country. So you have politics playing a role out there with the mayor of Los Angeles saying the stay-at-home order is in effect for a couple more months. You have the chancellor of the California state system saying no dice. They're really in a very awkward position. Southern Cal can't get up and start practicing if you can't leave. So I think Bobby is correct. I think the Pac-12's only hope of being part of the college football situation this fall is if the rest of college football starts late and gives them a chance to catch up.
You know, I've been making this argument, and I know college football is not something that we talked a lot about. And, of course, here in L.A., USC, UCLA, incredible, incredible fan base, and you know, obviously loyal, you're either loyal to the Trojans, you're loyal to the Bruins, but either way, it's obviously representing Los Angeles. We haven't talked too much about college football, and I've said this every time we talk about basketball. Well, it's okay to kick the can down the road a little bit. It's okay to kick the can down the road and decide, and the NBA is going to make a decision, you know, coming up very shortly here. I think the rumors that we're hearing is 2 to 4 weeks. Woj was saying that. Well, it was either yesterday or the day before that the prediction is within the next 2 to 4 weeks, the NBA is going to make a decision on playing out the rest of the season. If you're college football and the NFL has already taken this approach, you just heard Chip Kelly, the head coach for the UCLA Bruins, you should kick the can down the road. You should plan as if you're going to play, and then if that just doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. But they're college football is in a position where there's nothing else that they can do. The NFL, they should release the schedule the way they did. I didn't think they should have a virtual draft. I was 100% wrong because that was something that not only they did, not only was it successful, not only was a rating success, not only now do we know, okay, these are the players the Rams took, the Raiders, the Chargers, but you didn't have to have other people come in contact with each other in order to make that event happen. So far what we've seen, and I think college football will take a very, very similar approach, that approach is going to be, we'll kick the can down the road, we'll pretend everything's going to happen. Last clip that I want to play, Bobby Carpenter, who was on GetUp as well, doesn't see how the Pac-12 can play with CSU schools remain closed. That's why the conversation is coming. Here's Bobby Carpenter.
I'm a big believer in trends. And I understand Chip Kelly's coming out and obviously trying to speak and promote his conference. But when you have the Cal State University Systems, which is the largest university system in the state of California and also in the entire country with almost 500,000 students, when they come out and say, hey, we're not going to have class in person this fall, I believe that's a huge trend. And you're going to see that four of the teams in the Pac-12 reside in California. Now, only two of them are public universities, but universities like to group together. They like to stick together, and no one wants to be the outlier, especially in a state like California, where everything appears to be on hold for maybe a lot longer than much of the country. And so as I look at this, I just don't understand how they would be able to make this decision today for the largest university system in the state of California and then have some of their other huge universities somehow pull out and not be in lockstep with this decision.
All right, there's going to be challenges up and down California, so we'll see what eventually happens. We know from a sports perspective, there's probably a very good chance if the Lakers are going to complete their season, or the Clippers, or the Dodgers are going to start theirs, or the Angels, it's probably not going to be in the state of California. It's UFC Fight Night, Overeem versus Harris, live on ESPN this Saturday, May 16th, so obviously this Saturday coming up here, starting at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Dave Denholm, the play-by-play voice of LAFC, is coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is The Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to The Sliwa Show. Dave Denholm, play-by-play voice of LAFC, joining the show. What's going on, Dave? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well. Give me some updates. How's life treating you? How are you keeping busy in these times?
It's obviously in the lockdown and kind of staying home an awful lot. I am starting to kind of venture out to maybe pick up groceries, things like that, with a mask on, and you know, try to just live a little bit. You know, maybe picking up some takeout, things like that. But really, staying home a lot, watching the 18-month-old baby. So
that's awesome.
Hands full, but time still flies. You know, she's growing up, and even amidst of all this, time still goes fast for me. And you know, trying our best to keep it all together.
Now, Dave, you take me as somebody that when you put your face mask on, I'm just assuming it's a it's definitely a name brand. It's very fashionable. Am I right on that?
Of course he's lying, everyone. He's not mocking me, but no, I love it. Actually, my mother-in-law made it. It actually has
that's awesome.
This is breaking news for the Alan Sliwa Show. It has Snoopy playing soccer on it. That's my mask that I wear. My mother-in-law
that's
made
great.
She did a great job with it. It's just me and my glasses always get fogged up when I wear masks. That has happened to me my whole life. If I ever have to paint or something where you're wearing a mask, it fogs up my glasses. It's awful.
Every time I go walking, I throw some sunglasses on. I'm like, I can't see. I can't see anything in front
totally,
of me.
Dude, I'm half blind as it is, to be honest with you. So it's like when I start to fog up the glasses, look out.
Dave Denholm joining the Sliwa Show. So, Dave, can you tell me a little bit about what's going on this weekend? I know you and Mario are working or have been working on this really, really cool concept for LAFC. For those who don't know, can you just give us an idea where the idea came from and what your guys' plan are for this weekend?
Yeah, sure. And thank you for having me on to talk about it. It's coming up on Saturday at noon, which is when LAFC was supposed to play LA Galaxy, of course, in El Tráfico, which is what the rivalry has been dubbed by fans. That was supposed to kick off at noon, Alan. We would have heard it right here on the 710. Yes. But we decided a few weeks ago, my wife had kind of just thrown this out at me. We were just talking one day. It was early in the MLS season, had just kind of kicked off. And she said, do you think you could call a game just, you know, without seeing anything for 90 minutes? And I said, no. No way. I would get lost. It's ridiculous. I don't think anybody, I just don't think I could do it. But the kind of idea just stuck with me because, of course, we were in the lockdown. It was just starting and we knew there was not going to be a lot of sports. I started to really miss it. I missed the fans. I missed going to the bank, you know, and it just kind of, I got brought back to that idea. And I sent out a tweet about it just for fun, like, oh, I'm starting to think maybe I should do it, you know, like, and people were like, yeah, you should, and it kind of got me a little fired up. So I ended up calling Mario, the great Mario Reeves, as everybody knows, and he's my producer for LAFC, does awesome work, and he was just like, yeah, you got to do it. And so we started to kind of map out, like, okay, I'll do it, and we got make sure we had the right equipment to make it sound good, but then I also knew he could add the finishing touches. And frankly, we've already done it. It's not going to be live. I don't want to give anybody the wrong impression. It just wouldn't sound right if it wasn't, because the work that Mario did, and I won't give away too much, but to enhance this broadcast and make it sound absolutely phenomenal, he just did an awesome job. He had so much work to do on it, and he pulled it off amazingly. And I think it's really going to be a treat. I hope, Alan, it just gives, you know, fans a couple hours respite, you know, just a couple hours to just enjoy something and not think about what's going on around us, you know, and just get lost in sports again, because it's really what it was for me. It was very, you know, very therapeutic that way. I had to do my research. I got, you know, did all my study and my stats and got everything ready. That took several hours. And then I got to call a game for a couple hours. And then Mario had to put in his work for several hours. And we love the finished product. We think it's going to be good. But more importantly, it's just that we think it's a great way for fans to just escape a little bit for a few hours and come back together. Because we all know at the bank, I mean, that's really what it's about, you know, is just a few hours of just all getting together shoulder to shoulder and root on for LAFC. So very pumped about it. I really appreciate you letting me speak about it, but I think fans are going to like it.
No, I love the idea. Listen, the concept is unique. You just kind of saying right there, the way you're explaining about doing some prep work and, you know, kind of almost going back to the way it was for a quick second. Like, I think about that sometimes and not often enough, but I'm like, wait a minute here. That's right. I mean, just imagine, okay, let's say we're in the playoffs right now for the Lakers. I would be prepping for the pregame with Michael Thompson, and we're talking about either the mistakes or how well the Lakers played in the last game. And looking at all the other playoff games going on, I forgot about that. You know, like these last 2 months have completely taken us away from even being in that mode of thinking of live sports.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And I hope that's what this does, is just bring people back to it a little bit, because we're just, you know, again, look, it's a fake game. I called it off, you know, off the top of my head. I did not plan it. I did not write out what I was going to do. I just let it happen. And frankly, Alan, we wouldn't be talking if I didn't pull it off, or if I thought it was really boring for people to not enjoy. Sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wouldn't have let it out there. But Mario, you know, did a great job, and I think
Mario makes it happen.
Yeah, I think it's worth people's time. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't put it out there if it wasn't. I wouldn't want to waste people's time. But I do think it's something that maybe they can enjoy.
Dave, can you give us the latest on, you know, I know for soccer fans that are out there, what is the latest on the MLS right now?
Yeah, they are good question. They are back to training individually. What that means is the teams are allowed back together, but not really together. They're kind of keeping their distance, heavy protocols for testing, or, you know, making sure temperatures every day, all the things they have to do. All the teams are back in training individually, though, where they're not really like going, you know, tackling people or doing any kind of drills together that much. It's just more like getting people out together to kind of get them used to being back at work, so to speak. So that's where we're at. Honestly, there's a lot of rumors flying around, Alan, with some thoughts of, like other sports have talked about, gathering everybody together in one city. For example, there's been some reports of maybe Orlando, for, you know, some other names have been bandied about too, and gathering all the teams in one city, kind of sequestered, much like other leagues are thinking. So that's where we're at. I mean, it's possible we could see something like that as early as maybe late June or July, if they were to be able to get the right testing and everything, if they felt comfortable with all that's going on. But that's where we're at right now. They are back to training very, very slowly.
Now, how does that work for LAFC and the Galaxy, just being obviously out here, even San Jose, I guess you could throw into that category.
Yeah.
Just being in the state of California, have they had that ability to practice at all? I'm assuming they haven't, right?
Not really. That's a good question, too. In most of the other areas of the country, they have been able to, some exceptions. Mm-hmm. The New York franchises are obviously got to be very cautious. But, yeah, LA is also under those, you know, the stricter guidelines, if you will. We're making sure that we go about this a certain way. So, yeah, they haven't really got the full clearance, or hadn't until, I believe they have now, if I'm not mistaken. But it was definitely more of an issue for the California teams.
Have you, Dave, have you got an opportunity to kind of keep up with Bundesliga just to kind of see what I know that was one of the more developed sports around the world that would have some type of opportunity to, obviously get back into live action. What is the latest on that front?
Yeah, they're back at it this weekend, actually. They are playing not in front of fans. They're going to be playing in empty stadiums, but they are back in action, continuing the season that they had paused right where they left off. And that starts on Friday. They have I think it's one game on Friday like they usually do. But then Saturday, actually our game, our faux Trafico is going to be rolled out at noon. But then the Bundesliga is, the last game on Saturday ends at 11:30. So, right before ours kicks off, our faux Trafico kicks off at 12. Yeah, the Bundesliga is playing all morning on Saturday with several games, and then Sunday as well. So this weekend is kind of a normal back at it, other than the fact that, of course, they're going to be playing in empty stadiums.
Yeah, what's interesting too, Dave Denholm, play-by-play voice of the LAFC, joining the Sliwa Show. What's interesting, Dave, is this past weekend we had UFC, so we got a chance to – I know they're different. The sports are completely different. Each one of these sports, it's UFC-type fight is going to be different than the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball, especially when it's one-on-one combat. But you got somewhat of a blueprint for other sports to look at. And then what's going to happen in the German soccer league, the Bundesliga, that's another sort of example that you can look at. The South Korea baseball. So at least it sounds like we're getting a little bit of sports back for some of these other sports here, the major sports, to take a look at and see, okay, what's working and what's not.
Exactly. I think that's 100% correct. Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that's a good way to put it, too. Somebody has to take those steps at some point. Now, we can, just determine who might that be. The Bundesliga, Germany, feels like they're in a decent shape for this, but we don't know, But somebody has to. We've seen, as you said, we've seen the South Korean baseball. We've seen some other things go on slowly. It's just a matter of, you're right, Alan, we're in uncharted territory here. We don't know. Right? I mean, nobody knows. This has been unprecedented. It's once in a lifetime thing, hopefully, in the sense that for our generations of people, we just have to take it slow and we just have to be cautious and just take a look at what is working and maybe what's not, too, from these sports that give it a shot first.
Yeah, I think every day I get a little bit more confused. Just when I think I understand what's going on, I'm like, yeah, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, that's no clue. Really, yeah.
That's kind of been the thing, Dave. I started the show off with this. You hear these just phenomenal journalists. One day I hear one thing and I'm like, my gosh, I think we're there. I think this is it. And then the next day I hear things, I'm like, we're nowhere even close. And I'm not saying that sports takes the priority, of course, of all the other important issues going on and the health and safety of not just every American, but obviously every person around the world. But when we're just looking at it from a sports perspective, there's days I walk away, I'm like, I have no idea what tomorrow is. Yeah. And I think a lot of people feel the same way.
No, I couldn't agree more. And that's a little frustrating, not going to lie, obviously. But, that's not the most important thing right now. So, who cares if we're a little frustrated? We just got to get it right. That's the most important thing. But you're right. It's just I'm feeling high one day in the sense of, I think, maybe it is going to be happening sooner rather than later. And look, I'm excited that the Bundesliga is coming back, even though they're playing without fans, and that is not ideal. Certainly, but I think that is the right first step. Certainly, we don't want to see 40,000-50,000 fans jammed into a stadium right off the bat. I don't think anybody wants to see that right now, whether you think it's safe or not, really. It's just too soon. So I think it's a good first step, though, and I am excited for it.
Dave, greatly appreciate the time. Wish you and your family a good weekend, and obviously stay safe, and you and I will connect soon. All right, bud?
Same to you and Jesse. Thanks. Thanks for having me on, Alan.
All right. Great stuff from Dave Denholm, as always. Let's keep things rolling here. I want to do this when we get back. So if you didn't get a chance to hear from Tampa Bay Rays pitcher Blake Snell, we'll play his audio of what he thinks about the upcoming season, plus Cincinnati Reds pitcher Trevor Bauer. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, appreciate everybody tuning in. Man, not going to lie, the shows this week have absolutely flown by. So tomorrow, obviously, only one more day left in the week, and I'm sure this is what's happening on a day-to-day basis. Always a story coming up hit on from a sports perspective. And the big story today, if you didn't get a chance to hear this, I want to play it real quick. Tampa Bay Rays pitcher Blake Snell. This is his view on the upcoming season and whether it's worth playing or it's not worth playing.
Y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season is cut in half on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't making shit. And on top of that, so all that money's gone. And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be, like, the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. So now I got to play with that on top of that. So y'all got to understand, man, for me to take a pay cut is not happening because the risk is through the roof. It's a shorter season, less pay. Like, no, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine. Okay, and that's just the way it is for me. Like, I'm sorry if you guys think differently, but the risk is way the hell higher and the amount of money I'm making is way lower. Why would I think about doing that? To lose all of that money and then go play and then be on lockdown, not around my family, not around the people I love, and get paid way the hell less, and then the risk of injury runs every time I step on the field. It's not worth it. It's not. I love baseball to death. It's just not.
Let's just say this. I really, really believe this. Blake Snell, this will be just a learning moment for him. That's the best way I could put it. It will be a learning moment for him. We know what's going on right now around the world. So this is going to be one of those predicaments, one of those situations where he's going to look back and be like, all right, I should speak my mind on things, but I should also understand the climate and I should also understand the timing of when I say certain things. Cincinnati Reds pitcher Trevor Bauer on what it's going to take to obviously make baseball work. And I'm not talking just about COVID-19, but for the players and the league to come to an agreement.
A lot of big leaguers are not millionaires. Like, people think that we're making all these millions of dollars, but as the last 10 years, the amount of veteran free agents in the league has dropped percentage-wise, and the amount of young players, 0-3 arbitration players,
who are on the minimum, are making.
And big league minimum is
about $550,000.
Okay, so let's just run that down real quick. So do some quick math. Let's say it's $550, right? Now we already agreed that we're going to take proration, so that's 82 games. So let's just call it half. So $275. Let me make sure I'm doing my math right. $275, all right? But then you're still in the top tax bracket. So that's not going away. So you're getting half of that goes to taxes. By the time you whittle this all down, let's say we get paid half. So now those people are making $275. Half of that again is gone to taxes. Yeah. So now you're at $137.5. Yeah. And then you haven't even paid for your housing in the home city. You haven't paid any fees, any agent fees, any financial advisor fees, anything like that. And maybe you have a family.
So what's the alternative? You know, like that's the only thing that I'm going to say. What's the alternative? At the end of the day, what it is going to come down to is the revenue in baseball is going to get slashed. It's going to get slashed in the NFL. It's going to get slashed in NBA. It's going to get slashed in whatever business that you're in, unless maybe you're a company right now that – is you have items that make sense under the current situation. So I hope, and I think everybody hopes, that baseball finds a way to come back. What we can't have happen is baseball doesn't come back, not because of the virus, but because the players and the league can't come to some type of an agreement. It's a bad, bad look if that's the case. So obviously on that front, that is something that that we can't have happen. Okay, so Sliwa Show coming up again tomorrow. Like I mentioned, We'll do a crosstalk as always, starting at 6:30 or at 6 o'clock, and then the show will go from 6:30 to 9. Greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. Hope you guys have a good night. LA, thanks for tuning in.